Your home is your biggest investment. So don't waste money experimenting when it comes to building, maintaining, or repairing it. From the chimney and the flooring to your siding and even the white picket fence, we've got you covered. This is Home Science Show, where we dispel the myths and misconceptions about your home, reading the fine print so you don't have to. Here's your hosts, Chris Linder and Dimitri Lipinski.
Welcome to the Home Science Show. I'm Chris Linder, Dimitri Lipinski, and we are live at the State Fair. It's a little soggy out there, Dimitri. We've been shuttled indoors. We're actually in a camper here today, so it's we're watching everybody and looking at a lot of ponchos out there, my man.
Looks like rain actually getting stopped now, but it was pouring rain, and we're blasting this moving trailer. Pretty nice and dry inside. And today, guys, we're talking about mold and the modern science of houses, how they are built and how it affects mold, because topic actually pretty controversial in a construction world, because we build houses a little bit different how it used to be in 40, 50 years ago. So what's happening now is builders are forced to enclose housing pretty much. 20, 30 years ago, you can see the air through the windows. You can stick your finger through it. But houses did not have mold, did not have the dampness. And now builders are completely sealing, with the house wraps, with pretty much all around perimeter, everything gets sealed. And you have to rely on your HVAC system. You have to rely on dehumidifiers, air exchangers. I bought my house about 6 months ago, and there's so many things I've never seen before. I have to learn the hard way. What is air exchangers and why do I need it? I have a big basement without walking out access, and it's not humid, but my dehumidifier works 24/7. And mold is really big topic because everybody is afraid of mold. So today we're going to talk how dangerous is mold, and also if you do need to remediate it, can you do it yourself, or should you hire a company? And when you do hire a company, you know us by now, how to avoid of being scammed in this space. Chris is going to be my expert. I'm going to be playing homeowner, asking him a lot of questions on a business model of companies who do it for a living. And I will just be explaining stuff, how mold works and what mold is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, a lot of people aren't exactly sure what they should be thinking about. If you have mold, if you think you may have mold, you see mold, or you've got a funky smell, what do you do? And, there's all sorts of different ways to go about it.
Absolutely. And I've seen mold develop after catastrophic events. As a matter of fact, 12 years ago, I bought a first house, and the first night in the house, me and my wife woke up at 2 o'clock. So we just bought a house, a small rambler, and wake up to water running noise. So my toilet was broken. It didn't come up on any inspection. So lift up a lid, and pretty much it was the controller to stop the water from overspilling. And sure enough, water came from the hallway bathroom all the way to the master bathroom. I have little parquet on the floor, on the concrete floor, flooded completely. The very next day, I call insurance company. They come out, and what they did is they send the guy with the dehumidifiers for a week. I paid like $500 my deductible, $1,300 bill, and I'm like, what did the guy did? I mean, all he did is just install two dehumidifiers that I could rent myself at Home Depot. My floors were not replaced, and I didn't like it because the glue was coming up from within the floors. I mean, they still stick together, but the gaps become wider because the water was literally sitting on the floor for like 6-7 hours. But yeah, mold can grow if you let water be at it for a while. And Chris, my first question will be for you is, How dangerous is mold? Is it overrated? I mean, is it really that bad? Why so many people talking about mold?
Well,
can you die from mold?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Technically, yeah, sure. I mean, anything that is bad for your body, such as mold, it's sure. I mean, if you're exposed to things like that, you can get very sick from it. And typically, that's probably way more the case if you know somebody's going to have you know any kind of reaction to it. It's going to be sickness, breakouts, allergies, things of that nature, more than, you know, most typically not death, but it, you know, would most likely you'd get sick long before you would, you know, it's not like you're going to fall over and die, you know, from it. But it's, you know, it is serious. But I think that to your point, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, is it as serious as I'm being told? Is it as, should I be reacting as quickly as I'm being told? And what do I do if it's in my house? You know, how do I know what to do?
I have a question for you. I've been recently watching Gordon Ramsay, the Hell Show, like 24, I think it's called, when he comes in and rescues restaurants. And so pretty much the show goes like this. Gordon Ramsay, you know, famous cook, comes in a restaurant that has big financial problems, and usually it comes with a big mess in the kitchen. And he often talks about mold because he would open like old fridge. He would open, you know, like pantry or where food is stored. And I know in a restaurant, one of the reasons they throw away food is because molds in the food start growing after 4 hours. So if you, let's say you cook something and you leave it in an open space, within 4 hours it starts growing. So a restaurant literally throws it away. As much as we hate it, I hate wasting bread, I hate wasting meat, but for the restaurant it's liability. But I remember Gordon Ramsay would come in and even their camera guys was puking because like they would have like mold and sour cream and whatever, because food was neglected for so long. And first thing he would always do is start yelling like, you want to kill people here? And he was really mad at the business owners of the restaurant. So in our space, like, we don't, like, I get the mold probably in your kitchen area or your pantry, but where else can it grow? Like, does it mold grow pretty common in walls? Does it grow in attics? I know in my business I've been in a lot of attics, and there has been mold under the deck, and because of, you know, the area, the where humidity escapes from the house, goes all the way up. But we don't live in the attics, but our systems can suck it in and still affect us. And I know I have one customer who got very, very sick and got hospitalized because a tree fell in her house, and the attic was moist for weeks, and she was allergic to mold, and she literally spent like 4 days in the hospital, and her insurance reimbursed her for the bill.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, anywhere, mold only really needs two things to exist, and that's water and food. And, you know, obviously food is...
What does mold eat?
it eats a little bit, you know, kind of like you, drywall, wood, paper, things like that. You know, no, I mean, that's anything organic, you know. So if it's, you know, in your home, when you start thinking about your home, you know, the things that your home is built of and constructed with, woods, paper, drywall, you know, things of that nature is what it actually eats. Now, I mean, it can exist on different surfaces and things like that, but you know, and then the water is what keeps it going. And water is the, you know, kind of the confusing part with it typically for most people, because it needs humidity is water, right? So anything more than 16% humidity, you know, it can stay alive. At that point, it's probably not real active, but, you know, the more humid it gets, obviously the more active it gets. And I mean, you start talking like this gal with the tree in her attic, that can be a really, really bad situation, because with all that moisture in that warm space and confined, it can really move quickly and grow. And you know, attics a lot of times, depending on ventilation and stuff, they move it around a lot. So, you know, I think that's something that, you know, we really need to talk about, is what parts of our home are maybe more and most commonly going to have it. So when we come back, this is Chris and Dimitri, the Home Science Show, and we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Home Science Show. I'm your host, Dimitri Lipinski. I'm sitting here with Chris Linder, and we're talking about mold. And I have a couple questions for Chris. My first question will be, how do I calm my wife down, who is absolutely paranoid about mold? She recently found mold in our, water softener. And so we open up a lid, and the salt was all the way down, but it, like one third towards the top on the walls, it was moldy. So we cleaned it, you know, like she took care of it, but she absolutely paranoid about it. Actually, she was looking at our windows, and our windows has just a little bit tiny, you know, spots in the corners, I guess, where condensation would come around. It's green, it's dry, but it's older. So my question for you is, how does the mold start? How long does it take? I've seen, I guess, worst case scenarios when you see the property that have been abandoned for a while. You come in and you see it on the walls, you see it on the ceiling. You definitely can breathe it. I personally cannot even walk in a house like that without a mask, because I'm allergic to that. It affects my body really quickly. But how long does it, you know, does it take from perfectly ventilated house to get to the house where it looks like it has to be condemned or completely rebuilt almost because of the mold issues?
Yeah, I think that's going to vary a lot. And technically, you know, mold, and this is probably what most people hear, and it's true, is that it can start to grow and move pretty quick within about 12 hours. So if you get some water in a area that you're not able to dry it all up, and you know, it's going to stay moist, it with the right conditions, and it'll start growing within 12 hours. And really, the conditions are what's going to accelerate the situation. So if you kind of think of like a, you know, in a science lab, right, where you've got a petri dish, create a perfect environment for something to grow in. You know, if you're home, the ventilation where it's at. But a lot of it, what we can't see is what's going on in the air, meaning, you know, the relative humidity in the air at the time is gonna play into a lot of it too. Because if we can't get that dry air, and then we've got a wet surface, the air is still wet, even if, like, say there was a fan and some good ventilation moving on it, you know, it's gonna move quicker, it's gonna grow faster. So that kind of becomes the problem. And I think that's where it's difficult to know, because, you know, in a corner of a basement that's, say you have a great ventilated home, but you have a portion of your basement that got wet, and it's not the most ventilated portion of your house, right? It's probably the most poorly ventilated area. Well, in that case, it, you know, it's a little better climate for it to grow and a little better conditions for it to grow in, and that it's going to stay wetter longer, and that's kind of how that keeps going.
I think it's pretty fair statement to say that majority of people do have suspicions that they do have mold, just because how much exposure, how much people are talking about it, and how much publicity, and it's been in the news. I mean, everybody talks how bad mold is. My question to you is, as a homeowner, as a concerned homeowner, what should you be doing on a regular basis? Like, what I do now, I do have a basement. It's a pretty big basement, so I run the humidifier on a regular basis. I know a lot of people open up windows, they use fans. So my question for you, like, on an everyday practice, being in the house, wintertime, summertime, what's the most common, like, what's the simplest thing which you can do to prevent, block your house from mold? Like, is it fans? Is it running your AC? What should you be maintaining or pay attention to?
Well, I think that, you know, Minnesota here in particular is a difficult climate for mold, because we shut the doors and windows all winter long. Mm-hmm. So we close it up tight because it's cold out. Yep. And then in the summer, it's hot and humid a lot of times. Yep. So then we keep it tight and we run the air conditioner. So now we're not getting a lot of ventilation. We're not getting air exchanging going on from the outside environment. And that's kind of the best thing that could happen, is if we get some air movement, air flow going on in the outside, from the outside environment. But most typically, it's usually man-caused, from a standpoint of, you know, we spilled something, we had a water break that never got cleaned up properly, things like that. The homes being built the way they are, they're so tight, right? I mean, the house wraps, the poly, all the insulation, everything. I mean, a lot of these homes that were built, and I know things have changed, but even the poly, the plastic that goes on the walls to cover, hold the insulation in, is glued on the seams in a lot of homes. I mean, you're talking about very, very tight. So the problem, like you were talking about earlier, is now that's fine, but once you do introduce the moisture inside, now it's not ventilating. Now it's not getting that that air exchange, and that's where it gets really.
But your HVAC can contribute. Your difference in zones can be, so like when it's super cold inside, super hot outside, you have the condensation. I know even your HVAC can create a lot of issues. Like I know in my house, my water pump works on a regular basis, and I'm very sensitive to it. So when I walk to any basement, I can tell you within 5 minutes how dense it is, how bad it is. And most basements in Minnesota, they're like that because the cold air always going to go down, and it's also going to be a little bit moist there because it doesn't escape. Like it would, because usually there's not enough windows and doors to the outside, so it kind of stays. And I know a lot of people are experienced that. So what do you do for air moving management, I guess? I mean, what do you recommend?
Yeah, it's never a bad idea just to have a dehumidifier running.
Sure.
If you have a central air system, a central system to your home that you could run it on, or it just even go into the big box stores and buying one.
What's
and
the normal level? Like, how do you read those?
Yeah, so, you know, in Minnesota, depending upon the time of the year, it's going to change a lot. So if you look at what it is outside, the relative humidity outside in the summertime versus the wintertime, at different times it'll change too. But, you know, so what would be considered very dry is, you know, anything under 30 is, percent humidity is dry. A lot of times we'll walk in a good, acceptable, normal level is in the 50s. You know, and then you'll get times where now it's in the 60s, 70s, 80% in this house. Well, nothing's going to dry out in that. I mean, there's so much moisture in the air, it's not going to stand a chance to dry. So, you know, backing it up with some of these devices, you know, these dehumidifiers that you can run is never a bad thing.
Well, my dehumidifier has been running at about, the reading on dehumidifier was showing me above 80. And it got down to under 50. I've never seen it below 40. So that's my dehumidifier. I never really feel it because I have really big basement. So there's a lot of air, and I have my HVAC is split between the levels. So I always, you know, maintain it pretty well. But at the same time, I feel like, I mean, I know the little bucket in dehumidifier, every 12 hours I dump it full because it goes from 80 to 50. But it's continuous running in the summertime. In the wintertime, it's not as bad. But in the summertime, with the rains, because it's basement, it's just there's so much water around my basement, around my house. So it's 80 to, I mean, pretty much 80 to 40 every day. If you know, any given day, I don't use it.
If you're going to go out and buy a dehumidifier just right off the shelf today, a lot of these dehumidifiers have a setting on them automatically where you can just push basement, because that's where you're going to put it, right? And so if you look at that when you do it, if it's a digital one, what it's going to do is it's going to show you a number on there, and typically it's going to be 45, and that means that it's going to just try to keep it to 45% down there, and it's going to continue to pump and you know, and more, it's going to work harder the more humid it is. So what that should kind of tell you is that 45 is a goal. So you're doing good if you're at 45.
45.
No, I mean mold. No, I mean if there's 45% moisture in the air, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with in the 50s. Okay, but
when it's
now
80?
What are your surfaces doing? You know, if you have a wet surface underneath on organics, meaning your woods and stuff like that, it's wet, and you have a high humidity rate in the air, nothing's drying. So that's more of where it becomes the problem. Just having some humidity in your home is not a problem. I mean, if you can keep your basement 45 to 50%, you're doing really good, I think. And I don't think you're going to see any problems. It's when, you know, if you did get a corner of your basement a little bit wet, and you got to remember too, a lot of these homes, the concrete, you know, so your foundation walls got dirt, you know, all the way around it, and then concrete sweats, and then your concrete may not have a vapor barrier, so the material, the dirt underneath the concrete, all of that plays a part in this, and that's why basements can be so difficult. And you know, most people don't realize that all over the years we've changed our building sciences so much that Absolutely. What applies for one house doesn't apply for another house. So I think as a good rule of thumb, if you can keep your relative humidity in your basement somewhere in that, you know, 50 range, you're doing pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. When we come back after our break, we're going to talk about industry, because the industry is built on fear, homeowners' fear, that they have to do something about it. They have to hire a contractor. They have to spend a lot of money to protect their homes from mold, or else something will happen. And when we come back, Chris will explain to us how the industry works. Can you do it yourself? How much can you do yourself? Can you test for molds? Can you actually remove the mold from your house by renting equipment? Or maybe it's worth hiring a professional contractor, but if you do, how much should it cost? How much does it cost to not only remove it one time, but maybe maintain it if you do have older house and maybe you have constant problem with your basement? How to manage it on the long term, how you can waterproof your basement. There's a lot of companies who just specialize in that. Actually, I've been reading a lot last night about basement finishing, one of the best companies in the country. All of that when we come back.
It's the Home Science Show with Chris and Dimitri, and Dimitri's getting ready to ask a few more questions. I think here it's looking outside at the fair, and it doesn't seem like it's that bad out there, and I know that we're sitting in here talking about mold, and I think people out there are feeling a little soggy and moldy themselves right now in those ponchos, but Dimitri, fire away, man. Let's help people figure out a way to take care of some of these things, understand better, give some tips and understanding to things, how they can take care of some of this mold stuff on their own, and know if it is very serious and they end up working with a professional, how to deal with a professional and what they should be able to expect.
Absolutely. Well, for me as a builder, I want to talk about home science. I know the whole industry is changing. I want to talk a little bit about a guy named Larry Janeski. He founded the Modern Crawl Space retrofit industry, one of the biggest players. He's from Connecticut, one of the biggest players in the industry. And the guy owns like 32 patents. At first, he was criticized and opposed, but today his ideas are accepted as a mainstream and building codes have changed around the country. I know it's very controversial. 6 years ago when I was getting my Minneapolis license, I know in the room of 200-300 contractors were talking about how we build homes in America today versus 10 years ago. But it's changing, and I guarantee you 5-10 years from now, it's going to be very different. But I want to talk about a little bit different industry, your industry. You build a home. Let's say we build a home and the home is not perfect. It has some issues. A lot of older homes, like you drive in Minneapolis, I mean, I've seen it so many times. You know, people do have issues with mold. And the time comes when you call a contractor or maybe insurance company because you spill something, your toilet got flooded, your basement got flooded, something bad happens, and our contractor comes to you and scares you to death that your family going to die if you're not going to do something about it. So they're going to sell you testing. They're going to sell you renting expensive equipment. Before you know it, the insurance company or yourself paying tens of thousands of dollars there. I feel like a lot of times you could do it yourself. So, Chris, tell me as a homeowner, what is it can you do yourself, and when is critical to hire a contractor and stop messing with it? I mean, if you already see green walls, God's sake, just stop thinking that you can do it all.
Yeah, if the walls have eyes, now is not the time to maybe try to do it yourself. But there's a lot of times where you can handle it yourself, and that's what I think a lot of people should know is, you know, depending upon what you have going on, and I guess if you know, I'll start that with, if you have doubt, then Then call a professional.
Well, how do you test?
But if you think that you can do it, so
how do you test to detect the mold?
Yeah, so there's kits that come in. There's two types of tests, really. Ultimately, there's a physical sample. So what you can see is basically a physical sample. So we're going to do basically a tape test and stick it to it and then test that to see what it is, what kind of mold it is. There's lots of different types of
molds. How many types of mold?
I don't know. Dimitri, I can't answer that.
Like a lot?
I mean, there's a lot of different...
But all of them are bad.
There's a lot. Not all of them are bad. Not all of them, to us are bad, per se. So, and that's the thing. Some of them can be a little bit more aggressive than others. They get agitated easier. They are more fine and we're more susceptible to becoming sick from them. But if you see mold and you're a homeowner, and you just think, okay, I got a little bit of mold here, there's a few things that you can do. You can test for it. You can actually go and buy a kit, test it. The kits will then come with an envelope where you send your testing off to a lab. Now you're going to pay for it to get the test results back, and you can do that on your own. Now if you have a professional come in, there's a couple of different ways that they're going to go about it. They're going to say, okay, do you want to do a physical test, an air quality test? So you can actually test the air as well. And then that's a third-party test typically, not the contractor himself. You want a third-party test from a laboratory. And then, the test results will come back and it'll say, first of all, they test the outside air as well. And so that goes into your kit, and then the inside air, and it's by room. So then you send in, you label all the rooms, and then it'll come back and it'll tell you based on what's in the outside. They kind of do, they understand what it should be, like an acceptable level. And then the room by room will come back and from the testing, and it'll tell you, what the count was and what spore count and all that, was the particulate volume in the air, stuff like that. And that's going to tell you what should be done. So you can do it two ways. You can test to see if it's even there. And then if you do remediate it, then you test again to see if you dropped it to an acceptable level. And that's where I think it does get a little bit confusing. But, I think it's always good to test in the end. You can, we tell people, maybe bypass if we know there's mold present, obviously, hey, we know it's there. Why spend the money to test that per se? Let's just test it when we're done to make sure.
How much we're talking about to test it yourself versus to hire a company? What's the range?
Yeah, so really, all you're really paying for the differences is one, to have somebody physically come out and do it and know where to do it. And because let's say your home's got 15 rooms in it. Well, do you need to test all 15 rooms? Maybe, but a trained professional is going to kind of understand things a little bit more as to how many of the rooms you should test. A lot of times you test 3 to 5 rooms, something like that. So the testing fees and all that, that cost is from the laboratory. You're going to probably pay the professional $150, $200, something like that, just to come out and do
like
it.
Just like service call?
Yeah, kind of service call.
Peace of mind call?
Well, just knowing, peace of mind call, right? Knowing that you actually tested the right stuff. So, but you can save yourself that money,
pretty, do it yourself?
Yeah, pretty easily. Do
How
it yourself.
How do you do it yourself? Where do you buy kits and where do you send them?
You know what? You could go on Amazon and order a kit. You can order a kit for $80.
I love Amazon.
And then, right.
They're going to conquer
you and
the
my
world.
Wife both, buddy. the FedEx driver's like, I think we're a regular stop 2 or 3 times a day. It's ridiculous. So she's probably listening right now, just shaking her head. But you can buy a kit for $80 on Amazon. It's going to get you, I believe that kit probably gets you, that's a 5-room kit. Okay. And then what you have to do then is it comes with the labels where to ship off the samples to. And so each room, then the lab is going to charge you by room in addition to that, somewhere $30 to $50, depending upon the lab. But it has all that information right in the kit. So it really does make it pretty simple for the homeowner. The difference, then you can actually buy additional rooms on Amazon, too. You can buy one of these packages to add more rooms. So what you could do is, if you suspect it, you can go do all this testing before you even call a professional. You can have that in your back pocket. If you really want to make sure that somebody's treating you right and doing that, go and go do that testing when it comes back. If it is bad, then have them come in and now you know something. You're a little more educated when it comes to what they're trying to tell you, and you can feel if you really trust what they're telling you or not. Because, you know, unfortunately, you know, it can be a little bit, these scare tactics and stuff do happen out there. We've probably all been, because why not? I mean, I'd be concerned. It's my family. It's my home. Mold is serious, especially if you have allergies. You're more susceptible, and it affects people in different ways. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that testing at all.
It definitely affects quality of life. Thanks for listening, Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. We're talking about mold remediation, how to hire a contractor who deal with mold, and how dangerous mold is. I know it affects my life. I'm very allergic to pollen trees, and at that time period, I'm completely dead. And another time when I walk in a moldy basement, I can't work. It's just, I get stuffed, I get coughs, I get sweaty. And as a contractor, I have worked in a lot of houses that did have a lot of issues. I used to flip homes for Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. So a lot of foreclosed properties, properties without homeowners for 1 or 2 years, you walk in and you cannot operate without mask. And I know a lot of guys in the construction field, they get physically sick, and I just cannot imagine living in a house like that. And unfortunately, a lot of people do. So it's very, very important topic, because we all have seen it for sure, whether it's maybe floor in your shower, that's probably not going to affect you as much. But obviously, if you see green walls, if you see windows completely getting rotted out with the green stuff on them, that's where you should be very careful and maybe start doing something about it.
Well, you know, I think that's true. And one of the other things that you keep in mind is that how much of your surfaces are not able to be seen. So if you have flooring, there's two sides. We see the top side, the bottom side is down. If we have drywall, we see the outside, but the inside is not. The studs that are in that wall. So mostly what we see happen with this is, by the time we see it on the surfaces as homeowners, it probably started behind that surface and underneath it, and it's gotten so bad that it's starting to show up out there. So just understand that if you're seeing a little bit on the outside, most likely the inside is substantially worse. Now, one thing that, you know, you can do is you can test for it if it's there. And then you had mentioned, you know, can we rent the equipment? These guys come in. So, you know, like when we come into a home, part of what it is, you want to dry the area, right? We're going to exchange the air, and we're going to dry it. Well, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, just renting equipment and putting air onto mold can take a bad situation and make it exponentially worse, because that mold was kind of contained a little bit, is kind of doing its thing, hanging out there, but you drop some air on it, and now you're pushing those particulates all through your air quality, all through your space and your home, and your air quality is just going to tank, and so that's going to cause everything to be a problem. So, you know, I think that we can get into, you know, some of the steps on how to handle that when we come back and figure out what I can do as a homeowner to save some money and maybe even solve this problem on my own, but without jeopardizing my family's health.
You're listening to Home Science Shows. We'll be back, and we'll teach you how to save money on mold remediation, whether you want to do it yourself or hire a contractor. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back to Home Science Show with Chris and Dimitri, live at the Minnesota State Fair. And we are getting this last segment here ready to go. We are going to try to get you some really good tips and ways to save some money if you think you might have mold in your home, and kind of just knowing what the first steps are, but also, you know, how to go about deciding if you need a contractor or you can handle this on your own.
So a few tips, guys, we already discussed today. Tip number one is you do want to keep humidity levels as low as you possibly can. We discussed today that it should be no higher than 50% all day long as possible. Every once in a while in your basement, it's probably going to be higher, but an air conditioner or dehumidifier will help you keep the level low. bear that in mind. Humidity levels change over the course of the day and with the change of moisture in the air and air temperature. So you will need to check the humidity levels more than once a day. If you know that you already have a problem, or so maybe you have allergic reactions to it, and it's important for you. Obviously, if you don't, it doesn't bother you. It's all right. I mean, it's full-time job to keep track of your humidity in the house. But if it's important, just know that in the morning it will be very different than in the afternoon or during the day.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's some simple things you can do too. You can get a in-home kind of everyday homeowner hygrometer and know what your relative humidity is. And that's probably what we're, you know, most concerned with typically, especially if I know I have a home that's maybe is susceptible to moisture. It holds humidity. It always feels a little more damp. And we kind of just know that most of us in our homes, we know if we're in one of those homes versus if we're not, if, you know, so it's no big secret, but you can simply go right on Amazon or wherever. We keep referring to Amazon because I think we all love it, but and get yourself a digital hygrometer and just put it somewhere where it just kind of tells you what the average relative humidity is, and keep an eye on that. If you see it creeping way up there, kick that dehumidifier into action. So that'd be just kind of a basic step, right?
Yep. And another big thing is here in the United States, we love our carpets, and we carpet a little bit different than they do it in Europe and the rest of the world. We want to go from corner to corner. Like back in the day, it used to be rugs. And the good thing about rugs, you can take it out, you can dump it, bring it back with the carpet. Nobody removes them. So I highly recommend to everybody, you know, keep your carpets away from your high moisture areas, from your basements, from your bathrooms, from, like, in my house, actually, the first project I did, my four bedrooms, I removed all the carpets, installed hardwood floors. The reason is because you cannot, you never can clean it completely all the way down. And if there is moisture, if there is dumping, if there is spills, it will grow under, and it's much harder to deal with the carpet, to maintain carpet. So if you do have problem with the allergies, you know, consider something else instead of carpet. It will help you tremendously.
Well, and carpet too is a little bit deceiving, you know, especially in a basement, because a lot of times what we have in basements, it's a double-edged sword. So we put down these the pad below our carpet, and you can buy a carpet pad that has a vapor barrier on it. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to stop the moisture from coming through that concrete slab up into our home. So that's why we have this vapor barrier. We're trying to help ourselves. Well, the flip side of that is if it has a vapor barrier and moisture does get on underneath there, underneath that, we can't dry. It's very difficult to dry that. And most typically you have to tear out that pad for sure, because you can't dry it out, because you can't draw moisture through a vapor barrier, obviously. And that can be a little bit confusing to people when it comes down to it. So if you, just on a note for that, if you have carpet where if you were ever to pull back your carpet and your pad and you see this kind of maybe plasticky type stuff on one side of it, that's a vapor barrier, and it's going to make it harder to dry things out down there.
Another quick tip, guys, if you do want to try to do it yourself. Like right now, we have rainy days. I've seen a lot of basements that flooded after heavy rain. You know, maybe your water pumping off, or, you know, your laundry room get overspilled. So if you do have major leak in your basement or somewhere in the house, you want to clean up and dry out your home thoroughly and quickly, within 24 to 48 hours after flooding. But also, don't stop there. I would highly recommend rent dehumidifier for a week. You don't see what's behind your walls. You don't see how it got affected. So if you don't get back to it within 24 to 48 hours, the reactions, the mold growth will start, you know, behind your drywall. The stuff that you can't see it. A lot of times people do think, hey, I just dry the area, open the windows, and it feels dry to me. Well, it's only on the surface. It takes 3-4 times more to get to under the, you know, building materials, like stuff like drywall, wood. They all absorb moisture, and it might be dry enough for you to see on the surface. But if you feel like after 24 hours is dry, give it another 2-3 days to make sure it goes all the way down.
Well, I think it's important that, you know, we talked about those in-home dehumidifiers out there. So what people should understand about, there's a major, major difference between a in-home dehumidifier and a, we'll call it a commercial grade dehumidifier. So think of an in-home dehumidifier as something that's going to, it's going to help the air, you know, the moisture in the air, keep that down at a low. But the problem is, once something gets wet, like your walls, underneath your walls, You know, we always say there's kind of two types of water, the easy water and the hard water. The easy water, we had a big spill or flood, all the water we could see, you know, so we said, oh, we got it all cleaned up. Well, that's what we call the easy water. We can all clean that up. But the hard water is the stuff that got underneath our walls and wicked up, so sucked up our drywall in behind it. Now that paper on the backside of the drywall is going to start growing things. Well, so what you want to do, obviously, is we want to dry that out. Well, a regular in-home dehumidifier is not going to do that. It's just not going to draw moisture through building materials. So what a commercial low-grain refrigerant dehumidifier does is it'll pull the moisture right out of the wood that's behind your drywall, suck it straight dry out of there, and that's a great start to begin with. But that's a big piece of machinery. And, you know, you can rent those machines or you can have a professional do it. One thing with that mold is definitely don't get air on it until you think you got it dry, because you don't want to be blowing air on mold, right?
Good advice. I have one more that's very easy to add to your prevention kit. Be sure that your home has enough ventilation. Use exhaust fans which vent outside your home in the kitchen and bathroom. I see a lot of homeowners, when they cook and they don't hook up, you know, their microwave or their kitchen vent to the outside, it blows right inside the house. Also, your bathroom vents. I've been in a lot of attics, and if it's disconnected, that moisture is going to be trapped, especially in the wintertime. It's one of the biggest problems, one of the easiest to just go there. Make sure that pipe does connect on top outside your house, go through out of your roof. Instead of just dumping in the attic. It happens all the time. Very easy thing to do, but yet a lot of people just neglect it. And as a result, they do have high levels of moisture in the kitchen areas when they're cooking. Because when you're boiling something on your stove, all the heat, all the moisture, you know, even if you have it on, it's pretty much going to get inside. So you want to make sure it ventilates outside. Make sure your house has enough ventilation.
Yeah, and for me, I constantly am running around. If I see anybody in our house, we have four kids, so taking a shower, taking a bath, whatever it is, without one of those fans on. And I've always got a fan running. You know, boiling water, try to run a fan. Get that moisture out of there. It doesn't belong in there, and it's going to save you a lot of problems in the long run. And what you don't realize is every time you add that moisture to it, although you may not see it anymore, it is absorbing into your walls potentially and not drying if you have a high level of relative humidity to begin with. So get that moisture out.
Yep, if you have any leaks, if you know you have cracks in your basement maybe, if you have a leaky roof, make sure you take care of it before it's too late, because it will come inside, and sooner or later, it will cost you more money. So it's easier to prevent. It's much cheaper to prevent versus try to deal and remediate it later.
You can literally spend a couple $100 if you find it quickly and get ahead of it. And in within a week, that can change into tens of thousands of dollars when it comes to mold. So, you know, get ahead of it. Don't wait on it. Don't just know it's there. Okay, I'll get to that. Don't wait on it. It is very serious. Now, I think there's a lot of people who hype it up at times more than it should be, but it is serious. So get ahead of it and try to take care of it right away when you see it. And I know we talked a little bit about products that you can use to kill mold. You see a lot of people spraying chemicals, bleach, and things of that nature. Mold reacts differently. Not all mold reacts differently to the same chemicals. Plus, you want to be super careful about what chemicals you're just randomly spraying in and around your home. I mean, it's not advised, because those chemicals, you know, potentially can cause a lot more damage than maybe a little bit of mold that you treated. So make sure you know what kind of chemicals you're using when you do that.
It's all we had for you for today. Hope you enjoyed our topic and learned something new, how to keep mold out of your house, not inside. If you do need a professional, you can reach Chris or anybody on his team at RestoreNationPro24.com or 844-GET-STREAMED. Looks like rain stopped, and we're going to go and enjoy the last day for us at the State Fair. It ends on Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening. We'll tune in next Sunday.
I'm going for the mini donuts right away. Yourself?
I'm going to build something with the kids at home.
The Home Depot? Right next door? You're going to go build a basketball hoop they're building?
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Good. Knocking those little hammers.
Do you trust me?